Welcome back to another episode of Father Time. This is season 3, episode 4, and we've been going through the theme leading by learning. Today, we're looking at leading by learning to be humble. So today, of course, as always, it's me and Chase Green. So how are you doing, Chase?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing really well. So we've been talking about leading by learning, and I want to talk about humility in association with leading your family in Bible time. Do you have some initial thoughts before we get into all this?
No, just that this is a really good topic. Honestly, I never really thought about it from this standpoint until you sent me the episode outline, but you're exactly right. It takes humility to be able to go through this with our family, so I'm really looking forward to this topic.
Yeah, I am too. When I was looking at doing the season, I had like a different outlook for what was going to happen. It's kind of morphed over time, and just think about things that we need to do to be leaders in our home and leading in things like Bible time with our family. And one of the things that I wanted to get to, this kind of stepped up right before it. And so I was thinking about humility, of course, too. There's also, I think, a good podcast also on the network here that Chase does with the Everyday Christian podcast. Has a couple of episodes in which he talks about this subject as well as selflessness. And I think that those kind of mesh well with what we're talking about today. I don't know if you have any specifics on those episodes or not, but you can certainly go and find those. Do you have anything specifically on those?
I don't have anything really specific. Just go check out my podcast feed at Everyday Christian, or you can find it on the master feed of Scattered Abroad Network as well. And if I remember, which I've got a lot going on here lately, but if I remember, I'll try to remember to put the links in the description on these episodes. But I appreciate you shouting out my other podcast there. And we just, humility is such a big thing. I guess if I'll say anything, just we do live in a very selfish-minded society these days. And a lot of people are not only selfish, but what kind of goes along with that would be prideful as well. And I think you helped me with a couple of episodes recently on both of those topics. So again, go check out the Everyday Christian podcast, and I think you'll be glad you did, because those are major problems today, pride and selfishness.
Right. I this is a concept that, I've been talking about with my family at home in various ways, but the concept of humility when you're doing things, I think, back years ago, when Tom Brady was still playing in the NFL, somebody, talked about him because he had an interview one time, and he made some arrogant comments, and just knowing that he was very good at what he was doing at the time. And somebody said something about it, and I said, well, I was kind of disappointed because that was pretty arrogant what he said. And I hate that, he did that. All these young men looking up to him, they're not going to learn humility from him. And somebody said, well, is it arrogant if you can follow through? And I was like, yeah. Still arrogant. It is still right. Arrogant, even if you could do exactly, what you're saying. Humility is to make low. That's the thought process. Philippians 2:3, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is a passage that probably a lot of people go to when talking about humility. But before we get into this thought process of humility, and specifically our concept with the Father Time show here with Bible time and things like that, I want to look at what biblical humility is not. So humility is not fishing for compliments. It's not false humility. It's like someone who is clearly very intelligent. I mean, just very intelligent. And then them going, I'm just a dumb guy. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, and then what happens a lot of times when that happens, you know, someone follows up with, no,
you are smart. You're real smart.
Yeah. That's not what we're looking for. You know, that's not humility. That's, you know, fishing for compliments is not associated with humility. You know, maybe it is, someone's being funny. I'm not trying to just, you know, completely criticize people that might do something like that. But what I am saying is that, you know, what we need to do is, not let that be our motivation. Like, oh, I'm going to say something bad about myself, hoping that people will, say something else. Like, oh man, I'm just, you know, just an ugly guy, you know. Well, oh no, you're really super handsome, you know.
Self-deprecation.
Yeah, right. Some good passages that go along with humility. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. You know, when pride cometh, then comes shame, but with lowly is wisdom. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So let God lift you up. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor goeth humility. So when we're looking at biblical, you know, humility, it is, you know, you can even understand that you have, some positive qualities, but you know, you're not touting it for everybody. And that's what, you know, how humility goes. Now, in relation, unless you have something to add to that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about this from Philippians as well later on, but Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. Jesus had every good quality, and yet he was still humble. So
right.
we need to take that example for ourselves. And certainly, this is not to say that we shouldn't be striving for excellence. Absolutely, we should be striving for excellence. But when we do, hopefully, achieve the excellence that we're striving for, we don't brag about that. We don't come across as boastful, etc. We need to remain humble.
Right. All right. Let's think about some of the things that we've got in store today. What are some reasons that you need to be humble in leading your family in Bible time? I've got some things that I can think of, but I don't want to steal your thunder, Chase. Do you have some things you'd like to throw out?
Well, I imagine we're probably thinking along the same lines here, but what I was really thinking about was that if you've never done a family Bible time, you know, in your family growing up, or if you've never done so with your immediate family that you're the head of as a father and husband, if you've never done that, then it's going to be very awkward at first, and that awkwardness can actually be a stumbling block to get you to go ahead and put yourself out there and start doing it. And so when you think about it, it takes humility to put yourself out there as the leader of your family to overcome the initial jitters of having a regular family Bible time and overcoming the awkwardness, et cetera, and just going ahead and doing it. Family Bible time has been a huge emphasis in our family, mostly from the start. I think we started doing it when our oldest was maybe two. So I wish we would have started even earlier than that. But we've been doing it for a long time now. But I still struggle in this area to an extent, because there are times when there is some difficulty in leading a family Bible time. I think about opening up to my own insecurities, or maybe I don't know the answer to a question one of my kids has, or my own personal struggles with sin and having to be honest with that, et cetera. All of these factors go into just the openness that we should have as we're leading this, and the humility that we should have, and being willing to broach difficult subjects. That's my main thought on it.
Yeah, and I had a lot of the similar thoughts, and in particular, the idea of, you know, not having the answer. I have heard of preachers that were, you know, very intelligent in the scriptures, namely had a lot of it memorized. I think of two people in particular that I heard that this happened with, but like Brother Elkins, Garland Elkins, you know, he had, you know, a majority of the Bible, I would say. I mean, I don't know for certain how much he had memorized, but he had a lot of it memorized. whenever we throw out a passage of scripture, you know, he knew where it was. Robert Taylor Jr., same way. I remember at, I think it was his funeral that they said this. I think someone read for his daughter and Rebecca, and she said, I think it was her that said that when they were on trips, they'd be going down the road and they'd try to stump dad. They would throw out Bible verses. And she said that it was only on a couple of occasions that he didn't know what verse we were referencing. And but when we would start it, he would finish it. So, you know, yeah, it was, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. And, you know, for someone like that, you know, I'm sure they probably have their own insecurities in different ways. You know, I think all of us as dads want to be that way. We want to have all of the answers, and just realizing that, you know, sometimes we just don't have the answer, and realizing too, that that's okay. That's part of life. You know, I would like to, know every single thing that my kids ask. I don't. And, you know, that's happening more and more with their schoolwork as they're getting older. You know, I'm thinking, I can't remember this stuff. I don't know. And they're asking me questions. I'm like, go to your mom. Like, I don't know. But you know, when it comes down to the Bible, I think it kind of hurts us as dads trying to lead our families if we don't have that answer right off the top of the head. It's okay. And that's part of our, you know, needing some humility when doing this, is realizing this is okay. You know, what's the best thing? And the best thing is for us to be leading our families. And that's number one. Maybe you don't have every passage memorized. That's okay. You know, maybe you don't have all of the answers. That's fine. You know, we're trying, we're working at it. And so having some humility is going to help in that regard. Do you have anything else as far as that's concerned?
Well, and, you know, don't ever be afraid to give as your answer. You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I will study it and I'll let you know what I find out from God's word, and then follow through on that. We should always be ready for an answer. 1 Peter 3:15. I know that's talking about a defense or an apologia for really the entirety of our faith in Christ, but certainly that would include having an answer when our kids ask questions or when our wives have questions. Are we going to have all the answers? No, of course, because we're imperfect in our knowledge, but our knowledge should be increasing. And I want to challenge any dads listening to this, any husbands listening to this. If you've been a Christian for, let's say, 15 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be, and if you're being honest with yourself and you really can't answer very many questions, why is that the case? Because you've been a Christian long enough, you should have a pretty good grasp, at least bare minimum, of the essentials, you know, the basics, the foundational principles of God's word. And so you need to know these things. If you don't, you really need to increase your study habits. Of course, we should be increasing our study habits no matter what. But if you're not where you need to be on your Bible knowledge, you need to get there, because your wife and your children are going to be counting on you in that regard.
Yeah. So, you know, I've had Kevin Rutherford as a mentor for years. We were preaching in the same area for a while when I was a bit of a younger preacher. I'm still a young preacher. I'm 40, but I'm still a young preacher, you know. And
I'm 40.
Yeah, that's right, you know. But when I was in my 20s, I was around Brother Rutherford. I remember him saying this one time, and so I'm quoting him on this because I've used it several times, but he's the one who said it to me, so I'm giving him credit here. But he said, you know, I get the most out of Bible study. You know, I'm going to, you know, present material to everybody, and I'm going to take all of my study, I'm going to present it in, you know, 25-30 minutes or whatever it is. And this is, you know, the phrase I remember him saying: sometimes I'll study for 45 minutes what it's going to take me 45 seconds to explain. And he's like, so who do you think gets more out of it, the people listening or the teacher? It's the teacher, you know. So you know, when you're teaching, this is a good way. So when you're doing Bible time, this is a good way for you to grow. And And yeah, you know, I think you've got an excellent point. You know, if you've been a Christian for 15 years, what's going on? Why do you not have, you should have at least more background than your child does, you know? So, you ought to be able to do that. I've heard so many people say over the years, like when it comes to evangelism, and someone goes, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, do you know how to be saved? Yeah. Well, then you can do that. Start there, you know? And, yeah, do what you can do, you know, go over the books of the Bible or whatever you have to do. So yeah, I think you got some good points there. So moving on, just kind of in a general thought process, you know, how can we show humility just in general? Because I think, you know, humility is going to help us out in more ways than one. It's going to help us in the Bible time aspect, but it's going to help us outside of Bible time for sure. So, you know, how can we be more humble in general? What are your thoughts?
A couple of comments here. The first one is just a quick one, and that is, I think we need to pray about it. If the Bible tells us that we need to pray for wisdom, James 1 verse 5, I think it logically follows we should probably be praying for humility and other things that we need as Christians as well. So we need to pray. And the other thing is that humility, and another word that sounds very similar to it, is humiliation. So I want us to think about this. Let's think outside the box a little bit, but I think this is valid. Don't think of yourself too highly. The scripture is very plain about that, Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We need to get over ourselves sometimes. And this is going to sound crazy. This is the outside-the-box thought process here. But a little embarrassment every once in a while is okay. It's not going to kill us. You know, we talked about the awkwardness of getting started a little bit earlier. And, you know, awkwardness, embarrassment, kind of the same ballgame. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You're going to survive. It's not the end of the world if something's a little awkward to you and you might feel a little embarrassed about it. Humiliation, embarrassment, that is being humbled. And we need to learn to laugh at ourselves a little bit. It's okay. Don't take ourselves too seriously. If let's say that we're leading our family in a song for the first time, and we kind of get off pitch or something, and it doesn't sound the greatest. Okay, that's all right. Don't take yourself so seriously that you tried that and it didn't go so well that you just kind of give up on it. And that's just one example. Be willing to lead through learning, right? That's what we're talking about this season. Lead through learning. And so in the sense that sometimes, you know, you might experience some trial and error. That's okay. You know, learn from your mistakes. If something didn't go so well in leading your family and whatever the case may be, then maybe scratch that idea and try something else. But don't give up, and don't be prideful and say, well, you know, that might work for so-and-so, but it just won't work for me just because of how I am. Okay, you need to get over yourself and realize that leading your family is more important than your pride and your feelings about the awkwardness and whatnot. And I'll just say this, Jesus, as we said earlier, is the ultimate example of humbling himself. What does Philippians chapter 2 tell us about that? So if you go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Jesus, the Son of God, all good in every way, he humbled himself. And how did he do it? Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, if I can turn there, it says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How often are we so concerned with things like reputation? And don't get me wrong, we have to have a good reputation. The Bible talks about how we have to have a good name before others. But taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. To what point? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was perfect, and he still humbled himself to the point of death. The point I'll make here is sometimes we need to, all the time, we need to humble ourselves and put to death something. And what we need to put to death is our pride. And so if our pride is getting in the way of us leading our family spiritually, we need to get over that, and we need to humble ourselves.
Yeah, I want to give two examples of this. I'll give one that might help any preacher that might be listening. But, both of us were preachers, you know, and we oftentimes bring up some of this stuff when it comes to preaching. But, you know, I keep myself humble in my preaching by, you know, one, just this is, you know, there's several things, but this is the one I'm thinking of right now. You know, some people will come up to you after you've preached a sermon and they'll say, "Oh, that was a good sermon. Oh, that was a good sermon." And they'll tell you all that great stuff. And, you know, the temptation is to make your head swell, like, "Oh, yeah, I did a good job." But I have found that there was somebody, this happened to me in particular, someone told me that I had a great sermon, and like the very next week they mentioned somebody else that they had listened to a lesson from, and they were a false teacher, you know, and they talked about how good of a job he did. And I was like, well, I think that goes to show you how much I should be concerned about good job, you know. So you know, we got to think about that. Now, Winston Churchill, this is a great story. Winston Churchill was once asked, "Doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed overflowing?" And his response was this. He said, "It's quite flattering, but whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big." And yeah, I think it's true, right? Yeah, so it's like, you know, oh, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, that'll keep you humble, you know. Sure, yeah, people want to hear me speak, but if they were going to kill me, there'd be a bigger crowd. Humility is just going to help in everyday life. It really is. Go ahead.
I always like to mention, I think I mentioned this in the Everyday Christian episode, one of those that you helped me with, but I always like to think about the psalm that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know, mm-hmm. We think about how small we are in the grand scheme of things. I mean, our soul is worth more than the whole world, but in the sense of how little power we have and how little we are in the grand scheme of the entire world, how small we are compared to how big God is in the sense of his power and his total righteousness. He's never once done wrong. And just, it's mind-boggling to me. And yet God is still mindful of us. He still cares about us. You know, Jesus spoke of how if God cares about the sparrows, and if he knows the numbers of hair on our head, and he knows the numbers of the stars, etc., certainly he's going to be mindful of us as well. You know, the flowers of the field God cares about. Certainly he's going to be mindful of us as well. And it just amazes me, and it touches your heart to think about God from that perspective compared to us and how weak mm-hmm. we really are and how terrible we are in the sense that we have sinned. And that is very, very humbling. And if we can focus on those big themes, then I think it's going to help us to make sure that we don't elevate ourselves highly like we should not be doing.
And I, you know, I've thought about that a lot too, because I'm just a big fan of history. When I was growing up, I hated it. But as I've gotten older, like, I love it for some reason. And I just think it's fascinating learning about other people's lives and what they did. Things that I'll never get to experience, for one. You know, from long time ago, that there's just no way I'll be able to experience anything like that. So it's pretty neat. But in the grand scheme of things, that same thought process, I'm very small in the grand scheme of things. Nobody's going to write a book about me after I die, more than likely. You know, nobody, you know, once I die, there's not going to be, you know, records of me in history where people are like, "You remember that guy, Matt McBrayer? You know, like, man, he was so great." In the grand scheme of things, you know, I can't foresee any way that's going to happen. So I'm pretty certain. Most of us are going to be like that, where, you know, after we're gone, you know, give a generation or two, maybe people don't even remember our names. And you might even think about this, you know, for, you know, like we're, you know, again, you know, Christians that, you know, softens that pool a little bit there. You can have a fewer number of people amongst Christians. Are people going to remember us? You know, a preacher, you know, amongst preachers, you know, still, you know, no, like it just doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, there's going to be very little thought about us, you know, probably a generation after we're gone. And so that being the case, knowing that, you know, we're really not that big of a deal. You know, I know the joke is, you know, for people to be like, well, you know, I'm kind of a big deal, you know, that, you know, it's quite the opposite of what we are. We are quite literally not big deals. And that should help us to focus on what really is the big deal. Focus on the scriptures, focus on, you know, God, you know, the Godhead. And so, yeah, absolutely. You know, we are very small. You know, if we just keep our mind set on being humble, you think even going back to Jesus, 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered and threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged the righteous, to him that judged the righteous. So anyway, you know, we think about all this, you know, we have to remain humble. We have to, you know, keep things in perspective and knowing that, I'm not the message. You know, I've got a good message, that message from God. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's not about us. It's about him. If we can keep that perspective, we're going to go far. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, I'm just reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:7. Paul talked about how the treasure was in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And I think he's specifically talking about the apostles there, but certainly we still today preach that same wonderful treasure of a message. But again, the emphasis is not on us. It's not on the messenger. It's on the message that comes from God. And so I'm, you know, again, that just humbles me and keeps my pride in check when I think about, like you said, the comments that we sometimes get after a sermon. Oh, that was a wonderful sermon. Well, thank you. But we don't need to think of ourselves highly because of the message preached. We need to just focus on the message, not the messenger.
Right. And, you know, we'll find ourselves humbled if we don't watch out. You know, it's better to humble yourself than to be humbled. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And now this is a funny story, but my grandfather was kind of a joker. And, you know, if you know me, you'd go, no, nobody in your family jokes, surely. But, yeah, he was kind of a joker. And he like got all tender with me one time and he had me come sit in his lap and he said, you want to see a picture of my pride and joy? And I thought he's pulling out his wallet. I thought he's going to show a picture of me. And I thought, man, this is real sweet. And I'm like 6 or 7, you know, like, and like, he's got me hook, line, and sinker. And then he pulls out a coupon for Pride and Joy, the cleaning products. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. You know, and so, of course I asked for that so I could pull that joke every day. So I did that for a while, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember sitting there thinking, oh, this is sweet. He's going to pull out a picture of me, and then it's a coupon. And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, you know, we get that choice. You know, we can either humble ourselves or we can be humbled. And much nicer to humble yourself. All right, let's think about this as we kind of round stuff out today. How can humility help us as fathers when it comes to parenting? Because, you know, when we're talking about Bible time and stuff, you know, our parenting really goes a lot into that too. You know, we need to be good fathers for our children to look up to us as fathers and to respect us and to learn from us, knowing that we're trying to do what's right. So how can humility help us as fathers in parenting?
Well, I think it just helps us to better relate to our wives and children. And we don't want to seem unapproachable. We certainly don't want to act like we're perfect, because we're not. And if we act like we're perfect, then we're really just setting ourselves up for failure, and we're setting ourselves up to be viewed as hypocrites. So we need to acknowledge our faults, our struggles, our insecurities, et cetera, like we talked about earlier. We need to be able to relate to our wives and children so that we can help them with their struggles and insecurities and faults, et cetera. So it's going to help us to, I think, set an example of humility for our families so that hopefully they also will have this humility that is extremely important. Like you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, James chapter 4, the Bible is very clear that we have to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord if we want to be lifted up. So that's really, that's the main thing I wanted to mention there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when it comes down to parenting, humility and knowing that, you know, again, you don't have all the answers. Well, we've got a great book in the Bible to teach us what to do. There's not a if this, then this kind of statement in the Bible. Well, if your child does this, then do this. And, it, you know, yeah, it's funny. I had a friend of mine call me the other day, and he said, I think he started it with, "You want another kid?" and I was like, "What?" And he said, "You will not believe what happened tonight." And he started talking about what happened. And I was like, "Oh, yeah. Yep. That's fun. Enjoy that." And then he started talking about, "Well, I don't even know what to do." And I said, "You know, if you're asking me for advice, I don't know what to tell you." I was like, "I'll give you some suggestions as what I've heard other people doing. I don't, you know, I've not experienced quite that, but you know, sometimes kids just come up with stuff, you know." And it was hilarious. So I was just like, "Well, glad it's you."
Yeah, but, I've debated whether I should share this story or not. Something happened to me yesterday, but it was humbling, so I'll go ahead and share it. I won't mention any names or anything, but I was visiting an older lady in the hospital, and she's having a little bit of trouble with her memory and whatnot. I don't think that she fully recognized me, and so I was talking to her about how I was going to preach at the lectureship in Memphis coming up, and she's just like, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're doing such a great job." Anyways, so we talked for about 10 minutes about preaching and my family and different things, and after about 10 minutes, she goes, "You can stop talking now." And I was like,
"Yes, ma'am."
Okay. And her son that was sitting there with me, we just busted out laughing, you know. And she said, "Well, I'm just having a hard time hearing you." And I was like, okay. And I said, "Well, you do want me to have prayer with you before I go, of course." And she said, "Oh, yes." And so we had prayer, and then I hit the road. But that just was hilarious to me. But
man,
it humbles you, you know, because like, "Oh, just stop talking."
So, it's okay. You don't have to. You have to say right. anymore.
Right.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
I think I'm being a little silly here, but I think God knew what he was doing when he gave us some older sisters like that who can put us in our place. So
yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, I think it's good, you know, to be humble in various regards. Of course, we see that from the scripture, but it's going to help us out. You know, like, again, when it comes to parenting, you may not have all the answers, and it's okay to admit that, you know, listen, I don't know the answer to this, but you know what, we're going to figure this out together. You know, when it comes to, you know, some of the disciplinary actions that you have to do, you know, if you're all high and mighty, you're going to probably get out of line when it comes to discipline. But, you know, if you're a little bit more humble, you're going to start thinking more on their level and trying to empathize. You know, still reprimand, still, you know, give them some kind of punishment for whatever degree of, you know, thing that they've done. But, you know, I'm not saying that, but you have a little bit different mindset. You know, your attitude is different in dealing out the punishment and whatnot. But
I'm thinking back to some of those questions we answered last season. And, you know, "Daddy, did you ever do this? Or did you ever do that?"
Oh, yeah.
It takes some humility to have to admit, you know, and sometimes I think we need to be wise whether or not we should bring certain things up from our past. But, but at times it may be necessary to bring up some of our past mistakes and be like, "Look, you know, I did this. I don't want you to do that. And here's why." it takes humility to admit things like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, like there's some wisdom in how to answer that, because, you know, it may be that you need to talk about that, but not right now. You know,
right.
there are issues. I've got young kids that don't need to know anything about the birds and the bees, if you will. But,
right.
You know, but, you know, maybe as they're getting older, that's a conversation for another day. So there's some wisdom in that, but there's some wisdom in the things that you've had to deal with in the past. If they ask you a specific question, it's like, well, you know, we'll have to talk about that later, you know, or if it is I've had a problem with that. You know, I know that, you know, my kids have, you know, back in the, a little bit younger days of a couple of them, you know, of course, still this is kind of an ongoing thing with younger children, but, you know, telling the truth, you know, and, you know, it's like if me and my kids are like, Dad, have you ever told a lie? Like, absolutely, I have. I told a lie when I was your age, you know. I lied older when I knew better. But that's the thing that we need to help you not do, is to understand that this is wrong and not to make the same mistakes I did, because repeating my mistakes is not going to make you a better person, you know. Teaching you to move on past it and not do these silly things, because you know you're the devil's the father of lies, and every time you lie, you're saying, hey, you know what, you know, my father's the devil. So you know, you're teaching them those kind of things and helping them to grow so that they don't get into the same problems that you did as a kid or an adult even.
Well,
you know what? I think we've kind of run out of time here. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add before we close things out?
Just remember the magnitude of your position in the family as a father, as a husband, and as a spiritual leader. You know, I think that sometimes we have a tendency to think of the leader, the head of the family or whatnot, as somebody who's going to have a high and mighty attitude, or going to have a little bit of pride to him or arrogance because he's the leader. No, actually, the true definition of a leader is a humble servant. And Jesus was a humble servant. And we need to be humble servants of our families, be the spiritual leaders of our homes. And humility is going to go a long way. It's not the only key ingredient, but it is a major key ingredient into being successful leaders spiritually of our homes.
Yeah. You know, I heard, you know, I can't remember who said this, but it somebody else said this, and they were quoting somebody else at the same time, so I can't even go back to tell you who that was. But they said something along the lines that when they were growing as a Christian, that they thought that the more that they grew, it was like, you know, like going to the store, and the more you grow, the higher the shelves that you can reach. And it's like, well, I'm growing up and I'm, you know, I'm able to reach these top shelves. And said that really growing as a Christian is the opposite thing. It's, you know, reaching lower and doing, you know, being of service and not thinking about, you know, like you might help somebody else, you know, reach the top shelf. Put yourself down to let someone else reach up there. Pick somebody else up to reach up there. You know, service tends to be on those lower shelves. And so, yeah, you know, that's what we're...
Romans 12:16, condescend to men of low estate.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, it says, be not wise in your own conceits.
Yep, that's right. Well, you know, I'll throw this out here at the end. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long suffering. That's the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have. Again, thank you for joining us on this episode of Father Time. Join us next time for another episode of Father Time, where we will take a look at self-reflection. That will be the last episode for this season, and we'll pick up back when do we pick back up? In August? Is that when we pick
August,
back up?
August, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So then that'll be the last episode, and then we'll take a couple month break, and then we'll come back on with, I guess, season four at that point. So, yeah, thank you again for listening, and we look forward to having another episode next time with you.